Kate, you are a very prolific author. I'm always in awe of authors like that. Last I looked, author of 29 novels. There's 19 books in the Flower Shop Mysteries. Is that right, or even that gets an update?
Yes, that gets an update, too. Actually, there's 19 and plus two novellas in the Flower Shop Mystery Series.
Okay.
21 in all, and then I've also written 7 historical romances, and I just turned in the second book in my new mystery series, The Goddess of Green Street Mysteries. So I'm starting book number 31.
Wow. So I don't usually ask about process because I think we talk about that kind of thing a lot. But in your case, I think I will. I'm just, like I said, in awe of this kind of prolificness. How do you stay that prolific? Is it a discipline for you?
It's a discipline and a joy. I enjoy writing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'd do if I couldn't create. I have a very active imagination. Always have had. Even as a child, I was always stood in the corner for my active imagination because mm-hmm. my mother called them fibs.
Well, fiction. It's just a euphemism for fibs. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you always knew you wanted to be a writer, or you taught for a while too, or was that that the first dream?
That was my first dream. I always wanted to be a teacher. I love teaching kids and I love teaching people how to do things, even write, which is another reason why I'm going to be presenting at the writers conference, because I love sharing knowledge. Writing is something that comes naturally. I never thought I wanted to be a writer. I hated writing assignments in school. I always aced them, but I hated them because I didn't want to be told what to write.
Mm.
When I was allowed to come up with my own idea, I did much better.
Oh, sure. A creative person, you want to take your own direction. So
yeah.
How did you get interested? Let's see, if we can categorize you, it's historical, romance, and mysteries. Would that be right?
And children's stories.
And children's stories.
Yes, I started out by writing children's stories. I took a course in writing for children when I was home. After I retired from teaching to raise my children.
Mm-hmm.
While I was at home, I tried every craft known to womankind. I mean, rug hooking, macrame, toll painting, cross stitch, you name it, I tried it. And finally, I saw this little item in the Chicago Tribune about taking a course for writing for children, and I thought, you know, I'm always making up stories in my head. Why not try it? So at the end of the course, they guaranteed you would sell to a magazine, and I did.
Oh,
and the
nice.
First time I saw my name in print, I was off and running.
Ah. So do you still write children's stories, or that was your introduction to your writing career?
That was my introduction. I did take all those stories and put them in anthologies, and they're available on through my website. They're very fun stories. And I recommend any mom who wants to read to their children, you might want to check them out because they're all fun and they all have a little, almost like an Aesop fable. They all have a little message in them. There are 2 books available. One is called Janie Webster, EB, Experienced Babysitter. And the other one is called Jason Jervis at Your Service. And it's stories about a boy who has a dog sitting service or a pet sit.
You started as an elementary school teacher, but you didn't go back to that even after the kids were grown. At that point, the writing became the passion?
Oh, yeah. Once I was published, I still had a toddler at home. And I started writing and writing during the day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally decided to go into books. I thought, well, if I can write stories, I can write books. Well, not so much. So I had to join a writer's organization, Romance Writers of America, and take courses through them and learn how to be a novelist. So my very first approach to an editor, she liked my book and offered me a contract. I felt very, very blessed because I know some people struggle for years to get a publisher. And I was lucky to get one my first outing.
So talk to us about your series, are the New York Times bestseller list, Barnes & Noble, and on and on and on. You've been very successful. So let's start maybe with the Flower Shop Mysteries. That seems to be the big bulk of it right now. And then we can talk about what the new series is as well. Tell us what the Flower Shop Mysteries are.
The Flower Shop Mysteries are, they're fun, they're fast-paced, and you won't guess who did it. I've never had a reader write to me and say, oh, I guessed it right away.
Oh, there's a challenge.
Almost all my fan mail is, yes, almost all my fan mail is, I never saw it coming. So that's my challenge, is always to keep them guessing. But the flower shop mysteries are about a florist who's kind of she's been a failure in law school. She was abandoned by her fiance because she flunked out of law school. So she goes back to this little flower shop that she worked at during her college semester breaks and ends up buying the mortgage of the flower shop and running it. And it's a hilarious cast. They always keep her occupied, and she creates floral centerpieces and solves mysteries. It sounds like a funny combination, but it actually works very well. And the titles, everybody loves my titles.
So give us a few.
Okay, Sleeping with Anemone, Evil Incarnations, Throw in the Trowel, Florist Grump, Moss Hysteria, Use with Caution, YEWS, A Root Awakening, it's Root, A Nightshade on Elm Street.
I can see that you enjoy word play.
I do.
Does that carry through the mysteries themselves as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll keep you occupied. They'll make you laugh. They're good to read at night. I don't like to read stories at night that are gory because then I can't sleep. Mm-hmm. What I like is lighthearted, fun reading, and these will not only make you turn the page, but they'll make you laugh too.
Nice.
And I've had many complaints from readers who said, you kept me up till 2 a.m. reading last night. Well, I didn't set out to do that, but...
But you gotta like that. Yeah.
Yes.
So do you write every day?
Just about.
You said you're a disciplined writer. Is there a certain thing you get your morning coffee and you sit down? And how do you do that process?
No, mornings are for taking care of business. So I do my internet promotional work in the mornings, and then I get on with my day, running errands, doing grocery shopping, everything a house needs to run.
Mm-hmm.
I get that all done in the morning before lunch. And then after lunch is when I do my writing. So afternoons are my work time. And because writing is such intensive thinking, that's all I can handle. I couldn't handle doing it all day long. The only time I've ever worked all day is if I'm approaching a deadline and I'm running behind schedule.
Let's talk about your new series. And I see that it's referred to as a cozy series, which I think is an interesting phrase. What does that mean?
Well, so are the flower shop mysteries, by the way.
Okay.
A cozy mystery is an Agatha Christie-style mystery. She was the first cozy writer.
Okay.
There are mysteries where the gore takes place off the page. You don't read about it. The murder takes place off the page.
Mm.
So you read about there being a murder, and it might be described, but you never go through the murder as it's happening.
So like you were saying earlier, you can read it before you're going to bed.
That's
exactly what makes it cozy. Yeah, I get it.
That's a cozy.
Okay.
So I don't know how it got its name. It sounds British to me.
Talk about your new series. You have the first book, is it? Statue of Limitations, coming out in February?
End of January.
End of January.
Statue of Limitations will be out. This is called The Goddess of Green Street Mysteries.
Okay.
And it's another tongue-in-cheek title. One of the sisters in a crazy Greek family is named Athena. She's named after the goddess of wisdom and war.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the sisters in the family are named after goddesses. So it's mom, who's the mother goddess, Hera, and four sisters and dad, and grandma and grandpa, or Yaya and Papu, as they're called in Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And Athena has a 10-year-old son. Her marriage has dissolved. She's come back home, place she's never wanted to come back to because of all the Greekness. And she's absorbed back into the family. She works at the family garden center. Grandma and grandpa own a diner. And it's another one where you get absorbed into the family and their zany antics.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you're also in the middle of a murder mystery. So it's a lot of fun, too. And I hope readers will enjoy the family antics.
Do you have a zany family? Do you use family and friends for some of your ideas?
My family would say, we're not zany. actually, my mom and my brother and sister have a great sense of humor, but the inspiration comes from my husband's family. He was Greek, and he had a zany family, so I learned a lot from them.
That's fine.
So I throw in a lot of Greek food, and we still have ties to the flower shop mysteries with the garden center.
I was listening to that, yeah, that their flowers show up again.
That was very popular with the Flower Shop Mystery Series, so I thought I would bring it in into this series, too.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Southwest Michigan Writers Conference, October 26th at Niles District Library. And I understand that you're one of the main speakers there, one of several. And your talk is going to be about creating great dialogue. Tell us some more about that. How does one create great dialogue?
Oh, I have several secrets, and I don't want to give them away now. But
give us hints, teasers.
Okay, a hint? Listen to it.
Mm.
Listen to it. So many readers write their dialogue, but they don't listen to it. You have to hear the way people talk. I spend a lot of time listening to people talk, just, you know, at a mall or at a restaurant. Eavesdrop. A lot of writers eavesdrop. You may not realize it, but we're recording in our brains the way people talk, their habits of speech. When we recreate it on the page, it doesn't sound perfect. It doesn't sound stilted. And that's the mistake many writers make. If they read it out loud, they would hear how stilted it sounds. My writing, the dialogue in my book sounds very natural. And the characters have different ways of speaking. Well, one of my characters comes from Kentucky in the Flower Shop Mystery Series, and she speaks in a certain rhythm. Another one comes from England. She has a certain rhythm to her talk, too. So when you do that, people can hear the difference, and that is what creates good dialogue. It has to be realistic.
Yeah.
So in my talk, I give different ways to obtain that.
That's great advice. And I think if you really start listening in a kind of a detached way, rather than content, but more to style, how people actually talk, you're going to find a lot of sentences that go nowhere, phrases instead of full sentences. That kind of a thing. And I think what you're referring to with a beginner writer, you might get something in full, complete sentences and without the tangents that we tend to go off on when we talk to each other.
Yes, and a lot of people start their sentences with, oh. People don't do that in real life. People don't start everything with, oh, I'm going to go to the store. Oh, I hear you. Oh, let me go with you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like really good advice certainly for new writers. Can this be valuable to more advanced writers as well?
Well, if they're successful, I'm sure they've mastered it.
So dialogue is a big part of good storytelling, isn't it?
It's essential. Mm-hmm. It moves the story along. If you have just paragraphs of prose, it gets too boring.
Mm-hmm.
I always break up my dialogue with prose because I have a tendency to write a lot of dialogue and then go back and fill in between. Mm. I call it my talking heads phase, where I just write pages of dialogue and then I go back and fill in what they were doing, some of their motions, their thoughts. That's my process.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm not sure I'd heard that way of doing it before. You almost sound like a script writer.
It is. It's like writing a script. But when I write, I visualize things like a movie. So I hope readers will tune in. Anybody that's writing in the Southwest Michigan area or North Central Indiana, I hope they'll come to the Writers Conference. And please try the Flower Shop Mysteries. And when my new series comes out January 29th, give it a try, too. I know you'll be entertained. I know you'll fall in love with them.
Wonderful. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today, Kate. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.